Good morning on this glorious Easter Sunday morning. My name is the Reverend Vernon Payne, with the privilege of sharing with you God's word through St. John's Gospel. John chapter 20, the empty tomb. Christ has risen. Christ is risen indeed. Praise his holy name. A short prayer. If Christ be in your heart, glory fills your days, for he is the King of glory. If Christ be in your mind, peace is in all your ways, for he is the Prince of Peace. If Christ be in your deeds, joy life will raise, for he is the giver of joy. If Christ be in your will, strength of purpose stays, for he is the sender of strength. Amen. I read from the Gospel of John, John chapter 20, from verse 1 to 17. And I'm reading from the New International Version. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. She came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb. We don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over, looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter, who was behind him, arrived, went into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded by itself, separate from the linen, and finally the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and he believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes, but Mary stood outside the tomb crying, and as she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am returning to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Amen. So my theme this morning is, what are you looking for? In John 20, verse 13. This is a wonderful Easter morning. The sun is shining. The sky is blue. the flowers are out in bloom. And in spite of all as we are as a country are experiencing right now, being in lockdown due to the raging virus that's brought us to this point, COVID-19, coronavirus. But in spite of all this, it is right for us as a people to celebrate the empty tomb that Jesus was buried in and to rejoice in the knowledge and the faith that Jesus Christ has risen. Hallelujah. He is alive, our living God, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. For those who believe in him through his resurrection, we are guaranteed eternal life in glory with him. It is with that thought that our faith in Jesus Christ that we celebrate this Easter Sunday, a celebration of life and love for Jesus in our hearts and in our lives. So come on a journey with me and let us explore together this wonderful chapter, chapter 20 in John's Gospel, to give us a greater clarity and understanding of what the empty tomb really means. So in verse 1 of John 20, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene made her way to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. Mary loved the Lord Jesus with all her heart in exchange for all that he had done earlier on in her life. And in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, we read how Jesus had cured Mary Magdalene from 7 demons upon her and made her well and set her free. After this personal ministry upon herself by Jesus, she's bestowed on him respect and sincerity of love, and even after his death was as strong as death itself, such love she had for him. Mary arrived at the tomb in the early hours of the morning. She found the stone had been rolled away. How could this be, she thought and pondered, was her first thought. She ran back to the disciples to tell them what had happened. They in turn rushed back to see for themselves if this could really be true. They went into the tomb and found it empty and the grave clothes folded neatly. It was Peter and John who witnessed themselves the empty tomb, saw and believed that Jesus had risen from the dead. And we are then told that the disciples returned to their homes, but Mary stayed behind crying. I find that quite unusual, really, for Peter and John, so matter of fact, looked into the tomb, saw that Jesus had risen from the dead, and then just turned and went home. I don't know that I could have done that. I would have wanted to have known more, and I would certainly have wanted to have pondered more myself as to how this really happened and to what this is really all about. But it was Mary. It was Mary, the one that stayed behind. It was Mary, the one who continued to cry in unbelief, not only that the tomb was empty, but where was Jesus, the one she loved, the one she had such respect for. what had really happened. As she cried over the empty tomb, she saw two angels in white seated where Jesus had been laid, one at the head and one at the foot. And then they asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" Her love for Christ was so great, Mary could not stop crying for the love of her friend, for the love of her master, for the love of her teacher. And in verse 14, Mary realized there and then, apart from the angels, she was not on her own. She became aware that there was somebody else behind her. Mary turned and saw Jesus standing there, but did not recognize him. This is not surprising when you think what he had to endure on that Friday, when the Romans whipped his body to pieces, nailed him to the cross, and left him hanging there to die for 6 hours. Anybody having gone through such torture would be unrecognizable to those who knew him. So Mary is forgiven for not recognizing Jesus at this point. And then in verse 15, Jesus speaks to her. "Woman, why are you crying?" Who is it? Who is it you are looking for? Thinking he is the gardener, she asks him, "Where have you carried him away that I might go to get him?" Mary still didn't recognize his voice. And then in verse 16, he says in that most beautiful, loving, gracious voice of his, when he spoke in love for those he loved most, "Mary." As soon as he said, "Mary," in that loving tone, she knew instantly and cried out to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. It is to Mary Magdalene that he gives the commission. He gives the commission to a woman in a man's world to go and to tell others what she has witnessed. Mary Magdalene gave the news to the others of the risen Christ. I've always said for a long time now, if it wasn't for the women in the church today, we would not have a church if it was left to the men only. Jesus empowered women then, and he still empowers women today. Today we are celebrating the empty tomb and the resurrection of the living Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Mary then, and he says to us today, "Who is it you are looking for?" In this time of crisis across our country, and indeed across the world, this coronavirus has brought us to a standstill and brought us to our knees. Excuse me. The United Kingdom is one of the richest countries in the world, and America being the richest. With all our combined wealth, we are hopeless. We cannot buy ourselves out of this crisis. We cannot fight this enemy on our own, who we cannot see or smell. No one or country is immune from this virus. There are people who are living in fear, people who are anxious, and people who are dying through this virus. But the good news at Easter is news that this world, full of fear and sickness and death, needs to hear right now, more than ever before, that Jesus Christ is risen, he is alive, and he is our living God. And because he lives, we can face COVID-19, knowing that we have security in him. Yes, we have security in him. And we must now look again at John chapter 20, verse 15. When he says to Mary, "Who is it you are looking for? Who are you looking for today? What are your expectations? What is your focus? What are your hopes and dreams?" I believe God in Jesus Christ is in the epicenter of this crisis that we all find ourselves in. And he is asking us the same question as he asked Mary. Who is it you are looking for? It is only God in Christ, Jesus, who will get us through this pandemic and help us through our tears and our fears and our loneliness. And it is time for those of us who do believe and are born again to rededicate ourselves to Jesus Christ today. But now is also the time for those of you who are not in Christ to turn to him and to invite the risen Lord Jesus into your hearts today, to secure his heart and your heart as one. And you can do that in a simple prayer by following this prayer that I'm going to pray now. And if you can pray this prayer in faith and in love and in expectation, and have that same love in your heart from Christ as Mary Magdalene received, then I ask you to pray this prayer today. And this is what it says. Lord Jesus Christ, forgive me for my sins and failings as I come before you this day, as I am, warts and all. I invite you into the epicenter of my heart, as Mary Magdalene did, in love and respect, and acknowledging you as my Saviour, my Shepherd and King. In Jesus' name, Amen. If you can pray that prayer today, and pray that prayer in faith and commitment to Christ, it is only in faith, when we as Christians believing in the Easter Sunday, living in unity and working together with the one and only Lord Jesus Christ, that we will defeat the devil, the coronavirus, and claim the victory in his name. Not only for ourselves, but for the sakes of our children, our neighbor's children, and our grandchildren, for the sakes of those who are lost, lonely, and housebound and living in fear. We owe it to them. Yes, we owe it to them. And especially our children and our young people, it is their future that is at stake now. And their future is in the knowledge that the Lord Jesus Christ loves them and that he is too their Saviour and their Shepherd. Who are you looking for right now? What are your expectations? And what is your future? And what are you focusing on? Turn to Christ. Stop looking. Stop pondering. And turn to him, or rededicate yourselves to him. In Jesus' name, amen. So let us pray. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you for this word, for your word this Easter Sunday morning, this glorious and wonderful day, as we celebrate new life in you, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Shepherd and King, has risen today, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he met Mary Magdalene by the empty tomb, so he meets us today in all his love, grace, and truth, asking us, what are we looking for? We don't have to look any further, but in prayer, give our lives to him, renew our lives in him, and become one, his heart and our heart working together. To look to him more than ever before, to feel his healing touch, comfort, peace, and grace at this time. And I pray, Lord God, for all those who are lost, fearful, and living in darkness. We call upon you, Lord God, to touch the epicenter of their hearts. Nudge them, Lord, and draw them to you, that they in time will invite you into their hearts and become one with you, to trust in you in every working hour of each moment of each day, and to be filled with your love as Mary Magdalene was filled by your love in her life. We pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, for those wonderful, beautiful people working in our National Health Service, the doctors and nurses and carers who work tirelessly hour after hour. Pour out your angels of love and protection upon these beautiful people. Keep them safe and free from harm as they risk their lives to heal and put us back together again. Continue, Lord, to work your healing powers through these doctors and nurses. Help them to overcome their own fears, tiredness, and fatigue by your Holy Spirit. And I pray, Lord, for all those wonderful people working through the essential services, the police, the prison wardens, the school teachers, the farmers and growers, the fishermen on the high seas, harvesting food for us to fill our empty bellies. Bless them mightily, Lord, that they will know your strength and your peace. I pray for our Prime Minister and government and advisors at this time, and for all those scientists who are working around the clock to provide a vaccine against this coronavirus. Hold them all together, Lord, by your awesome presence, and lead us through to pastures new, for the sake of us all, in Jesus' name. Amen. And I close with this blessing to you. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has risen today. Hallelujah. Amen.